I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And on this July 4th Saturday, another hot one. We talk tech here on WCCO. Denny Long here on this end. Our friend Doug Swinhart is on the other end. Good morning, Doug. Happy 4th to you guys.
Oh, happy 4th of July to you as well, Denny. And it is warm, but it sure is nice outside. I like this weather.
Seems do
like
you?
The
a lot of
fun. I get, the more I like the warm and the less I like the cold.
I'm with you, pal. Big time. I want to alert our listeners, if you have any kind of a computer-related question, you know how good Doug is on fielding those questions. You can either call Doug or send a text. Same number applies for both the phone calls and text messages. As you know, that's 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Doug, I promised that I would save some text messages that we did not get to last week. Why don't we say we open up with those, and then we'll get some current callers and texts answered as well. Huh?
Sounds good on my end.
All right. Here is one. I can access my bank website with Internet Explorer, and my user and password work fine. However, I prefer to use Firefox, but then my username and password doesn't work. What do you think?
Well, I think that's very strange. If that party is absolutely certain that their logon credentials are correct, that would be really, really unusual. I would suggest that we double-check that password, which they are viewable in the browsers. And if they are the same, completely uninstall Firefox and reinstall it. And that should correct the issue. Now, some websites, this isn't so common anymore, but some websites were originally programmed for Microsoft extensions only. Well, then you would be forced to do that. But I doubt that any bank has anything like that. That's very unusual. And thank you for the text. That was good text.
All right. Here's another one that says the keyboard does not work. Could be failing USB port or USB port is disabled. What do you think about that?
Generally, the first thing, if they've got access to another machine, is to plug that keyboard in to verify that it isn't the keyboard. If it's keyboard, they're inexpensive if it's wired, and it sounds like it is. If the USB port is going out, and I've actually had several computers where one specific USB port quits working after a Windows update, and we reinstall Windows, and it's all back. Sometimes, and I haven't seen this for a while, but USB ports and keyboards, if you have a motherboard that's failing, that's generally the first thing to go, but I don't think that's the case. My gut feeling here is it probably has something to do with the Windows updates and why Microsoft is rerouting ports and interfering with drivers is absolutely beyond me. I don't know what the idea there is. But if necessary, you may have to reinstall Windows to get it back up and running. Another really good text, and thank you so much.
All right. If you want to call in your tech question for Doug, again, same number, 651-989-9226. Remember, Doug, we were talking about older computers and how you like some of these old machines. And this texter grabbed onto that and said they have an old 94 Mac. Is it worth anything?
I would have to take a look at it, but it probably is. Something else that's unusual that I don't think a lot of people are aware of is I know of one place in California that is actually starting to create a tech museum. And they are big on buying Macs. If they didn't happen to have that, that would be a good place to check. But you'd be surprised how these Macs just keep right on rolling. 94, pretty early. And pretty early. I'd rather them say it was a 98, 99, and so on. But 94, if nothing else, it's probably cool to have for nostalgia. It's that's quite the machine, actually, that they have. If it's in good shape, I wouldn't be afraid to venture that somebody somewhere would want it. If you don't want it, sell it. But yeah, that's an interesting machine. And thank you for the text.
I kind of kicked myself because I was reminded that I think I may have got it through one of my daughters. This is many years ago. But I had one of those early Macs that had such a tiny screen. What are we talking about, a 6-7-inch screen or 8-inch screen, something like, you remember those?
Mac SE, 7-inch, you bet.
And I got rid of it, I don't know when or how, but I kind of wish I had that to this day. But
well, they had some heat issues, but I got to tell you, when they came out, that was primo equipment.
It was.
The resolution on that black and gray screen in the black and grays, it was really, really high. But they did have some heat issues, and if you could keep them cool, they just keep right on rolling. Quite the little machine. Mac SEs, they were slick.
Well, here's another one related to old computers, not worth anything, but it says, Texter says this, I'm going through all of my old computers, 4 desktops and 4 laptops. All 4 desktops do not boot. How can I get data off these old hard drives before I destroy them?
Well, you know, this is really where Linux just shines. By taking those hard drives out, removing them, you can get either an adapter for each one or just one that plugs into a USB port and plug it into a Linux machine, and you can read and copy the data right off that. I would venture to say 90% of the people on the planet doing data recovery are using Linux machines. Now, if the hard drive is completely crashed and it's serious, then you'd want to be seeking professional assistance for recovery. And I don't know if you know this, Denny, but we probably have the best data recovery on the planet in Eden Prairie.
Really?
OnTrack, what a tremendous company. If you do a little research, unbelievable. Their growth over the several decades, but they are, without question, they're in the top 3 on the planet. I personally would say they're probably number 1. You can get that data. Best thing, just get a machine up and rolling with Linux. Wouldn't even have to install it. You could boot it off a USB drive, get your data, copy it to another media that's accessible to Windows or whatever OS you're using, and rock on. And another really good text. We're getting good text, Denny.
Oh, we are, yeah. What was the name of that Eden Prairie company?
OnTrack, OnTrack. And they've been purchased. I think it's actually Kroll OnTrack, K-R-O-L-L, Flying Cloud Drive, and they do a tremendous amount of work, tremendous. And they work for actual homeowners or small businesses, medium businesses. When 9/11 hit, I heard that they actually got drives from the bottom of the rubble, and they were able to retrieve 98% of all data. They're good. They know their stuff. They truly do.
What a story. Hang on, Doug. We're going to take a quick break here. Again, inviting our listeners to join in. We have a bunch of text messages. If you want to call in your question, that number is the same, 651-989-9226. Or, again, if you prefer, send a text. Again, same number, 651-989-9226. Those folks on the line, hang on. We'll take this quick break. Be right back with more Tech Talk here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And let's get back to more Tech Talk. Denny Long here with Doug Swinhart, answering your questions by phone and by text. 651-989-9226 is the number for either phone call or text. And we have, as usual, Doug, a bunch of them. So let's see how many we can get through. I'll tell you what, I think on the phone, though, Cal has been waiting there in Maple Grove. Let's grab Cal's question. Cal, thanks for waiting. What is your question for Doug?
Hi, Doug. Great show. I have a 17-inch HP 2014 laptop.
Okay.
And it comes up low battery, so I replaced the battery. But when I put in a new battery, every once in a while it makes a pop sound, and the machine shuts up, and it's hard to restart. So I took that one out, put back the old one. It works fine with the old one. And I don't know what to, if it's really that specific battery or any battery I buy will cause it to happen, you know, with the pop sound.
Wow, isn't that a weird one? I would absolutely, wherever I got the battery, exchange it, start there. If that one does it also, then you're going to have to take a look. There's a little, small little board that converts from battery to AC. And depending upon your model, it may be really inexpensive, may be really difficult to find. And if it's difficult to find, then you would you'd probably end up paying more. The nice thing is HP, with almost every model they have, will supply you with a complete service manual and show you the breakdown of parts and pieces and give you a fairly good track to run on to repair that yourself. You could find that at HP.com and make sure you have your product number, serial number, and whatnot, and just hit support and follow the guides. But this is very unusual, very unusual. It also could indicate that your jack, if your jack is a little bit loose, that might also be going out. But it would seem to me that if it was one battery, that activity would be happening on both. I personally think that you're on the right track. It's the battery. Start there. And thank you so much for the call, and have a good fourth.
As most of our regular listeners know, Doug is a very busy guy, but he's been kind enough to give us not only his phone number, but the website. It's a lowercase, WCCOtech, one word, .com, WCCOtech.com. And his phone number, if you want to jot this down, we'll mention it later as well, 651-552-9543. 651-552-9543. We'll get that to you once again. You know, I use a Mac, Doug, and I don't think, I kind of inherited from my son, but I don't think I've ever, or he did, have any kind of security. And the reason I'm asking you this, or a cleaner, a texter says, and you're going to have to help me with this, there's a security program for Mac. Is it Sophos?
Oh, Sophos, S-O-P-H-O-S, absolutely.
Yeah, and this texter's got that. And is it Mac Cleaner?
Yeah, there's several cleaners that are effective. One of my favorite is Onyx, just like the Black Stone, and okay. That's a freebie. Works awesome.
Really?
Clean My Mac is another good one. Mac Paws is a good one. I don't really think, as far as antivirus and malware, that it's necessary, but if they want it, certainly. Okay. The Mac operating system was originally built with a BSD operating system. Of course, you couldn't call it anything close to BSD or open source today because Mr. Wozniak wrote that from the ground up, and it's truly a work of art. Man's a genius. But I think that it's safe and sound just the way it is right out of the box. Cleaners may be a possibility that you need one of those. Big thing with Macs is don't save your data on the desktop, which is true for Windows as well. Beautiful machines. I like Apple Macs. Always have.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, the texter's question really was, should they, he or she, renew those security and cleaners?
I don't know if it's really necessary. I don't think it is. And same with Linux. People say, well, I got to get an antivirus and a malware. And I truly believe if you keep your Linux operating system, whatever distribution you're using, up to date, I believe that programs like that actually hinder the security. Just let it do its thing. It's complete different architecture from Windows. I just don't think that it's necessary. Great text, though. Great text.
Another texter wants to know, what do you think about using Bing for an alert to Google and Google Chrome? Says, thank you for your time. What do you think about that, Bing for an alert?
I'm not certain what they're referring to, but I think they're actually referring to some of the, I think, almost unwarranted concerns about the privacy of Google. Google collects private information also, but it isn't near as invasive as the thousands of other little ones that run around the Internet.
Plus, I think that Google gives back. It's okay if you're really concerned about that, but I think there's a better way to really control your privacy and or anonymity, if that's really what you're looking for. I'm not real big on Bing, but that's personal preference, and I think it's probably because of my long-term relationship with Google. I'm biased. I must admit it. I don't the alert thing, got to be. Absolutely has to be. There's better ways to confront that if that's your issue, though, rather than Bing. I think Bing picks up the information and sends it to Microsoft.
Oh, interesting.
I do. I think they do.
All right. This is a mechanical question here. From a text. It says, I have an 8-year-old laptop that has a hinge ready to break. I leave it open all the time. Do you think it's fixable?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, many of these hinges, I've replaced, I don't know how many. And that's a condition that generally occurs when people open and close on the same corner. It really is a good idea to lift those from the center or both sides at once. And just keep in mind that as this equipment becomes smaller and smaller and lighter, anything like hinges, anything mechanical, is going to become more delicate. Treat them with kid gloves. A lot of people think because it's portable, well, it must be rugged. Well, they're not built to military standards. There's only one laptop that does that, and it's a Panasonic. They're very delicate. Treat them with kid gloves, and they will run and run and run. But, yeah, that's more than doable. That would be a quick, easy fix.
All right, very good. Tell you what, we're at the bottom of the hour break time, inviting our listeners to join in. We have many more text messages, and if you, again, would rather call in and ask your tech question to Doug, by all means, 651-989-9226. It's Tech Talk around every Saturday in the 11 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to Tech Talk here on a Saturday morning, July 4th. Denny Long here in this end. Doug Swinhart helping you out with your computer-related questions, either by phone or by text. We have clear lines. A lot of folks, as you know, Doug, love that text method. And you can get to Doug by 651-989-9226. All right, let's see if we can grab some more here. Here's one that came in a bit ago. On Windows 10, how do you determine if a program is stored on the desktop or if it is a shortcut? How do you change it is the other question.
You simply put your cursor, your pointer, on top of the icon, and you right-click, and you slide down, and you left-click properties. A little window will pop open, and just select properties. Underneath the general tab, it will tell you if it's a shortcut link or if it's an actual file, and it will give you the size. We always want to install the program to the hard drive to allow the random access memory to work independently. If we run everything off the hard drive, you're really robbing yourself of precious memory. And as fast as hard drives are today, they pale in comparison to the speed of RAM. When things are in a static format, that's when they move. But just right-click on it, window will pop open, slide down and left-click properties, and take a look at the tabs. But under General tab, it will tell you exactly what it is. And it may need to be reinstalled. I don't have anything installed to my desktop, ever. Never have. Just don't believe in it. And it's a good practice to get into to check these things to make sure. And not only just program installations, but actually saving data files. Word docs, all that, they don't take much. And today's amount of memory probably won't make too much difference. It's still best practices to save your data on the drive. And I hope that helps.
Good deal. Let's go back to the phones, Doug. I think Larry is calling in from Eagan, Minnesota. Larry, you're on CCO with Doug. Oh, I'm sorry. Larry is gone. Gordy is here, though. Gordy in Maple Grove is here. Go ahead, Gordy.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Gordy. What's up?
Well, my wife is trying to get into her Gmail account, and it won't let her, and it comes back with a code 9 error.
Oh, I don't know what that is, but I would absolutely contact Gmail support and just open up a web browser and put in, how do I contact Gmail support? And it will give you several, but they will contact you shortly and get that straightened out. Code 9. Never heard that. I'll be doing some research after the show on that. That's unusual. That's very unusual.
Kind of a mystery.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've never heard of it. It could be more common than I think. You know, just because I haven't heard of it doesn't mean that it's not common. But most problems with Gmail have to do with passwords that people lost, but they've got that solved as well. As long as you have it connected to your smartphone or you have a secondary email where they can verify it's you. That's generally the only problems I've ever seen with Gmail. That's very unusual, that code 9.
Well, now you got some homework, some research to do.
Yeah, well, that's always, that never ends.
Here's a text, Doug, that says, I bought a new laptop with Windows 10 S mode. Can you explain S mode? What is that?
S mode. There are certain versions of Windows, I believe, that manufacturers are allowed to put on that are really quite limiting. And that S mode is one of these versions of Windows. Nearly everything that this individual does, if they don't upgrade to an upper echelon version of Windows, will be there and end up right-clicking and telling it to run as an administrator. I would also venture to guess on that machine, they probably have limited disk storage as well. That this is not so common anymore as it used to be. But there are many, many different versions of Windows. It's quite unique. In fact, I think people would be surprised if they opened up a run box, which is real easy. You depress the Windows key, press the R key, and then the run box pops open, and just type in WinVer, six characters, WINVER. I think people will be surprised at what version of Windows they're running. And do a little research, because they're coming out with a new operating system, sometimes twice in a year now. Next one is expected, I believe, in 5 months, 6 months. Won't be long. It's good to keep track of that. That's an interesting version of Windows. I generally take it off as soon as I get a machine that's got it. That's me. And thank you so much for the text.
All right, well, you keep us informed when that happens here in the next 5 months or so. Let's see. There's another one here, another text. It says, I have a Logitech remote mouse on desktop that is not registering properly. It uses a USB chip. Like copy and paste, it won't stay highlighted until the paste. I have changed batteries, but no change. Any ideas on that remote mouse issue?
Oh, you know, Logitech is usually right on the money. I am not certain on that. Unless it's a fancy mouse, some of these that cost like $70, $80, $90 and up, they will allow different speeds for different functions. But I don't think that the person that has this generally won't buy something like that unless they know what they're buying because it's more money.
Hmm.
That's really quite unusual. I would be looking under the settings and the control panel, and even though it's more difficult to find in Windows 10, control panel is still there. Just go to the search box and type in control panel, and you'll see it. Open it up and check the mouse there. Underneath settings, under the normal Windows 10 access to devices, you'll find some settings in there for the mouse as well, but I don't think as many as you'll find under control panel. That's another strange problem. I would try a different USB port, do some movements, but that's very unlikely, and it could be very possibly could be a bad mouse. Unusual.
Yeah.
Very unusual. And thank you for the text.
Could be. Texter says, Doug, do HP laptops tend to fail after 2 years? My friend has a Pavilion and it's dead. Comes from Dave.
Oh, I don't think so. HP built good equipment. I think that's very unusual. Now, there was a time when, well, it wasn't just HP. It was a lot of them. They were running real hot. They were running just far too warm. But most of the manufacturers have addressed that. So I don't think that's a good statement to make. I like HPs. Always have. It's something strange. I'd actually like to see that computer. It might be something simple. When we say dead with a laptop, generally it has something to do with current. And the jack's bad and it's not charging, even if the AC adapter's got a light on it and it's on, might not be charging. The jack port itself, inexpensive. Sometimes we pick them up for as low as $3-4. And if, as long as it doesn't have to be soldered in, piece of cake to put in. They snap right in. Huh. Or it could possibly be the switch. But sometimes, someplace along the line, I think if this one just up and died, wouldn't take a charge, wouldn't turn on, generally it has to do with power, and it's a simple, inexpensive fix. And thank you so much for the text.
Yeah, could be good news. Good. Here's a text. By the way, if you have want to call in or text in your tech question for Doug, 651-989-9226. That'll get you in here either text-wise or phone call-wise. This text says this: how do you switch to a solid-state drive if you're going to change out the drive your computer boots from?
You know, I get this question a lot, and it is absolutely doable by the end user. If you want to mirror the drive, I personally think the best way to go is with a Samsung SSD. Samsung, you can download a software package that will just mirror it. And once it's mirrored, you swap out the drive, and it takes a little bit longer to boot the first time, and only the first time. And up it comes. Your desktop's the same. Everything's exactly the same. Your data's in place. And you can even go from a larger drive to a smaller drive, which is real slick when it comes to drive moving, drive mirroring. That would be my advice. Look for a Samsung, an EDO. You wouldn't have to buy a Pro. In fact, I bought a couple of Samsungs last week, and they're on sale, 256 gig for, I believe, $56. Great buy. Best thing you can do for a laptop. With a laptop, it's an absolute no-brainer, and I hope that helps.
Very good. I bet you get this question 100 times a day. What's the best internet security to get?
Oh, you know, that's actually, that's a really big question. With internet security, I think today people are safer just with Windows Firewall and what they're receiving from their internet service provider. That said, however, it doesn't hurt for another layer. Probably the most extensive would be Spybot Search and Destroy, which has been around for literally decades. And you can get the free version, but the paid version actually will add antivirus as well. Not the easiest program to get to know and configure because it's so in-depth. But this company is doing a tremendous job for security. But there's many, many, many companies that offer additional security. ESET, ENOD32, Malwarebytes. And people think of Malwarebytes as strictly antivirus and malware. But it really isn't. It's actually watching files coming in and going out of your computer continuously with the premium version. I think for most people, Malwarebytes would be their answer. But there's many, many security programs out there. Do your research and find one that really fits your activity. And you can get pretty specialized with software today. So it's kind of fun to do the research. Get a little exposure to search engines and find out all kinds of different ideas. I'm real biased at where that software comes from. I like it to come from the U.S. first, Germany, Japan. I'm cautious about where it's actually being built, and I think that's in program. I think that's important. Keep track of it, and you'll see that there are literally thousands of security programs. People want our money, and that's kind of a good thing, I guess, and I hope that helps.
Absolutely. Doug, we need to take a quick break, alerting our listeners. If you have any kind of a computer question, before we run out of time, send us a text or give Doug a call, 651-989-9226. We're in the midst of our Tech Talk show. Thanks to our friend Doug Swinhart answering your questions at 651-989-9226. That number will get you in either a phone call or a text question for Doug. In fact, speaking of phone calls, Doug, let's go back to the phone lines. Mike is calling in from Woodbury, I believe. Mike, thanks for waiting. What is your question?
I have maybe inadvertently deleted a file from my desktop. Is there a way of resurrecting it?
Yes. You are going to want to run a search in Google for a program called Recuse. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. Give me a call or an email, Recuva, R-E-C-U-V-A. And this was written by the same people that wrote CCleaner. I believe you can download a free version, and it will scan, show you the files, and you will have to add, I believe, the first letter of the file name. But that should bring it back, unless you deleted the folder as well. And you probably didn't. One file, and if you know the file, you can actually tell it to search for it. R-E-C-U-V-A, Recuva. And I think they're trying to go after, like, Recuva or Recover. I don't know how they name these things, but there's so many programs. But that's probably one of my favorites, especially for one file. And I hope that helps. And if you have trouble, give me a call. I can help you with that. That's usually a quick, easy fix. And thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, Doug, give us your number, if you would, please. Give that to our listeners.
651-552-9543. 651-552-9543.
And we'll get that number to you before Doug leaves us today. 651-552-9543. We still have texters to help out Doug. Here's one. I'm going to try to decipher this. It says, hi, Doug. Do you happen to know anything about Fitbits? My Versa, I think this person means Versa 2. My Versa 2 stops showing texts and wording. Texter says, I can see the icons, but I can't see, for example, all the other information like sleep info or weather. I've tried restarting, rebooting. I've checked notifications 100 times, and I just can't seem to figure it out. And contacting their customer service is nearly impossible. Thanks for any suggestions. That comes from Jill.
Well, you know, Denny, interestingly enough, my wife has a Fitbit.
Hmm.
And I also am having the same difficulties.
Hmm.
And when it comes to Fitbit customer service, I am not the guy they would want to have people call for a reference. This is one area where I think that a company like Fitbit really needs to address these kind of things. And if you run a search in Google for what this individual is telling us, that we're not alone. There's a lot of this happening. I think they want us to think that it's Windows, but I don't think so. I think this actually is the interface between the computer and the Fitbit or the software that Fitbit has. From time to time, I can get everything working, but it doesn't seem to stay working. It's just not stable. I would think that Fitbit would be all over this. And maybe what Fitbit needs is a public shaming. Nothing will drive a company to do the right thing faster than 90% of their users going, shame on you. And they straighten right up then. So that's I wish I had an answer. Keep working at it. You'll get it.
All right.
Uninstall the program and reinstall it seem to help probably more than anything. I wish I had something more definite.
Well, it's worth a shot.
Here's
a text. Doug, it says, I'll be buying a refurbished laptop, and it will come with Windows. Where do you suggest I go to purchase Microsoft Office inexpensively?
Well, that's a no-brainer as well, Danny. Just I would have this individual go to libreoffice.org, LibreOffice.org, not com or net, .org. Download Libre Office Suite. With Libre, we can open, edit, and save any Microsoft Office file. And this is open source software. It's free. They keep their doors open by donations, but you are under no obligation whatsoever to pay for it. Most people, after they've had it a couple of years, say, you know, this is pretty decent. I'd like to have this project continue. And they'll log on and connect to their PayPal and send them $25, $50, whatever they can afford, whatever they feel is fair. Somebody that uses it every day should, I think, step up and pay $50 or $100, whatever they can afford. But somebody that uses it once a year, well, maybe the free is okay. But, yeah, that's your best alternative. What you're going to find is it's
almost identical to Microsoft Office, except it's a lot faster, a lot cleaner, and a lot more stable. And you can run it on a Mac, Linux, Windows, any operating system. That's the way to go. Or if you didn't want to do that and you have a Gmail account, all your documents and spreadsheets can be opened up under Gmail Suite in the docs on the drive. Piece of cake. Yeah, I don't like the high prices either for some of the Office products, and I've been doing this for years and years and years. These open source software, they shouldn't be discounted just because you think they're free and, well, it must not be worth anything. That's not the case, and I hope that helps.
All right. Here's a texter that wants, it says this: I use Quicken 2012 on an older Dell laptop to balance my checking account. What are my options to move this to my iMac, which is from 2018?
I do believe that they have QuickBooks for the Mac. Most people who are doing strictly a checkbook, and they like to connect to their bank and do all that, and there is an online service called Wave Apps, WAVEAPPS.com. And it's free. It's probably the best accounting system, I think, for a small, medium-sized business and personal. And like I say, it's free. Yes, your web browser will have some ads on the right side, but they're not flashy. They're not in the way. They're not obtrusive or abusive. That's kind of how they get paid, so I leave them alone. But Wave Apps, WAVEAPPS.com. The nice thing about being web-based, doesn't matter what operating system you're running. You open up a web browser, you log in, and you're good to go. And your data is safe and sound. Never have to worry about a backup. It's already stored up in the cloud. Great program. I love that program.
All right. Well, Doug, we've got a little over a minute to go here. Maybe we could do a real quick answer on this one. HP 7250 printer is showing a print system failure message. Won't print. Do you think I need to replace it? And do you have any recommendations on a comparable printer to that HP 7250?
Oh, I think that one could be reconfigured. This sounds to me more like it's some kind of a communication thing. I would completely uninstall it, uninstall everything for printers, and restart the computer, shut down the printer, leave it off for about an hour before you begin, and then try it again. And if that doesn't work, run a search. But printers? There is a plethora of printers around. Well, I take that back. We had a little bit of a shortage because of the C19. Hopefully, they'll be back soon.
All right.
Don't go too cheap on a printer.
No, I agree with that for sure. And let's do this again next week, Doug. Thanks for your help today. Let's do another Tech Talk next Saturday on CCO. What do you say?
Oh, that sounds awesome, Denny. I look forward to talking with you.
Me too. Happy 4th of July to you guys.
Yeah, thanks, and you do the same. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
And here's Doug's number, 651-552-9543.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.